Okay, good morning, everybody. We're going to call this regular meeting of the San Diego Housing Commission Board of Commissioners to order. It is 9 o'clock. We did have a plan to accommodate overflow. It doesn't look like that will be needed, though. So I would like to remind everybody briefly that we do have speaker slips available here in the boardroom and in the overflow rooms in case we are using them. Commission staff will collect those slips and bring them over to the recording secretary. There are three types of speaker slips. If you wish to address the commission on an item that is not on the agenda, please fill out a white form. Non-agenda public comment will be called first. Please complete your slip and turn it in now if you do wish to speak. Those who fill out the white form will be allowed for 3 minutes of comment. And if you wish to speak on a specific agenda item, please fill out either a yellow or a pink form. If you're speaking in opposition to an item, fill out the pink form, please. And if you're in favor, please fill out the yellow form. And if a large number of people wish to speak on an agenda item, speakers on that item will be limited to 1 minute per speaker, so please plan your comments accordingly. And if you wish to cede your minute to another speaker, please indicate that on your speaker slip. Okie dokie. So we'll proceed with the non-agenda public comments. I have received one form. Ms. Joyce Signata, you are up for 3 minutes. Good morning, Joy.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's always so good to be here. It's always such a privilege to have this opportunity to speak before you. It's been a while, so it's good to be back. And so I'll start out by saying, just remember always, every morning, how much you're appreciated by us. I know I don't speak for just myself this time in that regard, but you are very appreciated. I've been in this business of activism since 2004. I practically lived here for 5 years in the early 2000s. So just know how much we appreciate you, we love you, and just keep the work up. So I want to report a couple things. First of all, I had the wonderful, amazing opportunity recently, about a month ago, at the library downtown to do the Fair Housing Conference all day. And wow, there were so many. I wish I could tell you about every single speaker. There were about 10 absolutely fabulous speakers about housing, fair housing, and housing on a global level, housing on a national level, and of course, our housing on the local level. And I was blown away by the fact that there are just, I didn't get it until that day. I didn't get it that there are an enormous amount of people out there caring and trying. And in a way, there's too many. And I say that because it's almost impossible to get a collaboration going to bring all these tremendous voices together. I don't know how we could possibly do that. But because of that, and because I realized that everybody's just doing a great thing off in their own corner in a way, I want the Housing Commission to step forward even more. Because I think for us on a local level, you're it. And by it, I mean that I'm making you an it, sort of. But I think the rest of the community appreciates you on that level and wants you to do that. So I really think the time has come for you to step forward even more. We need some voice to attempt to do the collaboration on a deeper, more thorough, more effective way. And we just need you and the power and authority that you do have to just wield it and use it in a way, because we're at a level where we can't really stop. I mean, the crisis is here. It's broken through. It's a reality. And here we are. What do we do? So I'm going to put that on your shoulders today, all of you in the audience, you commissioners, step forward even more. I'm going to expect even more of you. You're great. You're up to it. And we need you. We need you desperately. It is an amazingly difficult situation on all levels. It's not just us. It's national and global. And nobody at the end of that big day when all these fabulous people were, their hearts were on their shoulders, it was there. No, we didn't come out with an answer for you. We didn't. We didn't come out with three nice bullet steps to take. And, you know, of course, my favorite little three bullet steps are preservation, prevention, and empowering. And so I just wanted to do a quick little thing on that, that with the Plaza Hotel ending, that SRO, was disheartening, but I understand it's a big picture, and I know there are many components to it, but I want the Housing Commission to do more monitoring, if they don't have the power to do it now, to do more monitoring of these projects when they do come to expiration. I didn't see a covenant on that, so I don't really fully understand the whole project. But in any case, I'm still out there for preservation, for prevention, and for for powering. So how close am I to my 3 minutes? Am I over
yet? Basically done. So I appreciate the positive comments, though, and that was very constructive. Thank you. You have one closing remark left.
Good, good, good. So I just want to bring it all together, and because this is what I do want to leave you with. I want you to do more, and I want you to know you're capable. You've got it, and we need you. You're really the heart. You are housing in San Diego. You really are. You're our San Diego Housing Commission. So you're up for it, and I'm going to be watching you, and I know you're going to do great things. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sunyata.
Integrator.
And all of that very positive feedback goes right back to staff. So thank you. We'll go ahead and start with commissioner comments. Do we have any commissioner comments? The report from our president and CEO.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have three very brief items just to make sure the board's aware of and put on the record. The first is some very good news we received about 2 weeks ago, and that is some additional funding for a Section 8 voucher program from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. There's an extra $20 million per year that's going to be phased in over the next two fiscal years. And that's going to increase the funding from about $150 million right now, serving the 15,400 some odd families we serve, to about $170. So this was a result of our complaining to HUD. HUD's responding and saying, we'll do a study. We did a study. The study justified the money. And the study was for the entire county, which is the region, and we'll pull the other housing agencies in this county along with us. So my remarks to the county officials right now is you're welcome, but this will affect them as well as us. But this is an extra $20 million for us, and it reflects the marketplace and where we should be. It's not a gift at all. To Jeff Davis, Susana Valladolid, and all the good folks here who were involved in helping put that effort together, thank you. It's a good job. Second issue, and I know there are a number of items on the agenda today relative to our homelessness programs and efforts here, but a significant one was that on April the 12th, we did a groundbreaking ceremony for the Link property. This property is 72 permanent supportive housing units. The City Council member Chris Ward and Housing Commission Vice Chair Ryan Klumpner joined the developer firm Housing Group and other parties who basically cut the ribbon for this property. And in addition to the housing, it provides services to this property from Father Joe's Villages. This is another example of the efforts we've done that have created housing opportunities for more than 6,000 San Diegans, formerly homeless, whom we have helped out since we kicked our program off in November of 2014. And finally, a shout-out. On April the 19th, the California Association of Housing Authorities, which is a subchapter of NARO, which whom you all know, the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials, or this one is a California chapter, gave an advocacy award to Senate President Pro Tem Tony Atkins. And I was able to be with the other members of the leadership of CAHA to present Senator Atkins's award, and I don't have to go through the whole list of things she's done. You all know that. But it's just an indication that not only do San Diegans involved in housing love Senator Atkins, but the whole state does. Thank you.
Very positive. Thank you. And hopefully, to Chuck's delight, I'm not going to forget the approval of the minutes this time. My first time doing it, first opportunity. So do we have a motion to approve the minutes? Thank you. And a second? Thank you. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Excellent. We do not have anything on our consent agenda today. We do have a long meeting. I'd encourage the commissioners to ask many questions, but keep them succinct. We are going to start with item 109. We're going to take things a little out of order today. This is the tentative agreement for an MOU with the Service Employees International Union, Local 221. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm Jeff Davis, Chief of Staff. With me is Michael McKenna, our Vice President of Human Resources. We are presenting to you this morning a request for approval of a tentative agreement for a memorandum of understanding with the Housing Commission's Recognized Labor Union, Services Employee International Union, or SEIU, Local 221. This tentative agreement is the result of negotiations between the Housing Commission and SEIU with guidance provided by this board and the Housing Authority. The parties have agreed to changes to the current MOU, which is set to expire on June 30th, 2019. The Housing Commission received a formal request from SEIU in February to meet and confer about the MOU. In March, pursuant to California law, you and the Housing Authority identified and designated Housing Commission management team representatives for those negotiations. Again, this board and the Housing Authority also provided direction to the Housing Commission's representatives for these negotiations in March, and the tentative agreement before you today is in line with the direction we received. Three negotiation meetings between the Housing Commission negotiators and SEIU's bargaining team resulted in a tentative agreement, which the parties signed on April 30th. A copy of that agreement was emailed to you and is posted on our website. And Michael will now go over the details of the tentative agreement.
Good morning. The tentative agreement proposes essential changes in three areas. That the MOU would be for 3 years through June 30th, 2022, cost of living adjustments of 3.5% in each year of the MOU, and increased health care benefits of 8% per year. The expected cost to implement these changes is $1,256,837 in fiscal year 2020, $1,319,218 in fiscal year 2021, $1,387,280 in fiscal year 2022. The tentative agreement also provides for revisions to Articles 5, 7, 21, and 22, regarding employee security, distribution of union materials, bilingual pay, and uniforms. We are confident that there will be adequate funding for the negotiated changes to the MOU. However, if the financial climate changes, the successor MOU includes a limited reopener provision that allows for the Housing Commission to reopen negotiations with the SEIU on the issues of salary and benefits. The SEIU also reserves the same rights under the reopener provision. I'd also like to note that the negotiated changes do not change the overall percentage of the agency budget designated for staffing. We are requesting this morning that the board recommend the Housing Authority take the following actions. Approve the proposed tentative agreement for a 3-year MOU between the Housing Commission and SEIU, contingent upon the ratification of the terms of the tentative agreement by the SEIU. Authorize the President and Chief Executive Officer or designee to implement the changes being proposed for represented employees and implement them for non-represented employees of the Housing Commission as well, as has been the past practice of the Housing Commission. Authorize the President and CEO or designee to substitute the funding sources with other available funding sources so long as the total program project budget amount after substitution does not exceed the approved total budget. Should the operational need arise, or should such actions be to the benefit of the Housing Commission? And authorize the president and CEO or designee to execute all documents and instruments that are necessary and or appropriate to implement these approvals in a form approved by general counsel, and to take such actions as are necessary and or appropriate to implement these approvals. And that concludes our presentation. We're available to answer any questions you may have.
Commissioner, question.
Madam Chair. Thank you. Give us a comparison. What has been the COLA in the for the past 3 years with this union?
It's been 3% a year.
It's been 3%. So it's an increase of 0.5%?
That's correct.
And then what about on the healthcare benefits?
So that's a little bit trickier. What we did in the last contract is we front-loaded all of the healthcare benefits up front, and that came out to be about a 16 to 18% increase over the course of 3 years, but we gave it to them all up front. So there was no increases in year two or year three of that agreement.
So it's 16 to 18% over the course of the 3 years of that agreement?
That's correct. Yes.
As compared to this one being roughly 24%?
That's correct.
And I just want to understand, this is contingent upon their approval.
Yes. Ratification. So they still need to go take it to their entire membership group for a vote, and we believe that'll take place at the end of this month, sometime around May 29th.
Was there a reason that it came to us before they ratified it?
I think the answer to that's yes, timing, because there was some concern that we also have to get this in front of the housing authority, and to do that, we need quite a bit of lead time, so we thought that we would present it to you today, and there's full expectation that the union will ratify it on the 29th or whenever that vote takes place.
There is.
Yes.
That's what you're expecting.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
Thank you.
All those in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Now we'll go ahead and get back on track. Items 100 and 101 were heard at the last meeting, so we are taking a truncated version of those items for a little bit of a refresher. You'll recall, Commissioner, that we got to vote, but they were some sort of special vote. Okay, item 100, Homeless Emergency Aid Programming Funded Rapid Rehousing Programs.
Okay to do the clicker. All right, good morning. You'll be hearing several items today related to the Housing Commission's expanding role in collaboration with the City of San Diego and other partners in addressing homelessness in the City of San Diego. Information about these programs is detailed on a fact sheet that has been provided to you this morning. Our first presentation involves rapid rehousing programs. I'm Lisa Jones, Senior Vice President of Homeless Housing Innovations, and with me today is Marley Williams, Senior Programs Analyst. We're here before you to discuss the expansion of our Rapid Rehousing Program portfolio. Rapid Rehousing Programs provide permanent housing to individuals and families experiencing homelessness in the City of San Diego, and the Housing Commission currently administers 6 Rapid Rehousing Programs with 5 different service providers. These programs are funded by a combination of federal sources of funds. Using the coordinated entry system, individuals and families experiencing homelessness are assessed and connected to service providers operating programs specific to their needs. The Rapid Rehousing Programs provide assistance to individuals and families, such as case management services, short to long-term rental assistance, move-in expenses, including utility payments, housing search and landlord negotiation assistance, referrals to other services to help stabilize and support individuals and families to ensure long-term housing success. Once enrolled, clients are connected to services and staff, who then work with the clients to locate permanent housing. The staff also assists clients with increasing or maintaining income supports while delivering supportive services. Rentals assistance subsidies paid to the landlord on behalf of the tenant incrementally decrease over time.
HEAP funding is authorized by Senate Bill 850, which was signed into law in June 2018. The funds are allocated to cities experiencing a severe homelessness crisis. HEAP funds must be contractually obligated by January 1, 2020, and completely expended by June 30, 2021. HEAP funds in the amount of $1.36 million annually will support three new rapid rehousing programs in the City of San Diego through April 30, 2021. The Housing Commission published a competitive solicitation in February 2019 to request proposals for the rapid rehousing expansion. Four proposals were received in response to the solicitation. After a thorough evaluation, each application was rated and ranked according to the requirements of the request for proposals. Three proposals were selected for contract awards. The agencies selected include People Assisting the Homeless, Home Start, and the Salvation Army. Each agency will receive $454,726 in HEAP funding with a projected initial contract term of June 1, 2019 to April 30, 2020, with 1 one-year option to extend each contract. Each agency must serve a minimum of 40 households for a total of 120 households served over the 2-year period. Staff recommends the Board of Commissioners take the actions as detailed in the staff report.
That's truncated. That's our truncated version.
we are here to answer any questions.
Thank you.
And we also have representatives from the operators here as well.
Great. Chuck, there's nothing special for the revote situation. Okay, thank you. Do we have any commissioner questions?
Madam Chair, I move approval.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 101, the budget and scope of work amendment for fiscal year 2020 Downtown San Diego Partnership Family Reunification Program. Welcome back.
Good morning again, Chair Benvenuto and Commissioners. I'm Lisa Jones, Senior Vice President of Homeless Housing Innovations, and with me is Deanna Villanueva, Vice President of Housing First Programs. We're here before you this morning to discuss the expansion of the Family Reunification Program to include 7 new service areas in the City of San Diego. The Family Reunification Program is part of the Housing Commission's Housing First San Diego's Homelessness Action Plan. This action plan includes the Homelessness Prevention and Shelter Diversion Program as one of the components for addressing homelessness in the City of San Diego. Programming includes the Downtown San Diego Clean and Safe Family Reunification Program, which is a collaboration with the Downtown San Diego Partnership that focuses on addressing homelessness specifically in Downtown San Diego. In the Family Reunification Program, housing navigators from the Downtown Partnership engage in outreach to individuals and families experiencing homelessness. The Downtown Partnership also coordinates with law enforcement and local service agencies to provide linkages to services. Relocation and follow-up services are then provided to individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Efforts include connecting with family members or friends willing to receive the person experiencing homelessness, ensuring that the recipient understands what services or supports the person reunifying may need, and reaching out to the receiving persons through follow-up calls. From June 1, 2017 through February 28, 2019, 1,360 individuals have been reunited with family. The contract with the Downtown Partnership will expire on June 30, 2019. Due to quality contract performance by Downtown Partnership, the Housing Commission is exercising the ability to utilize a sole source justification to renew the contract according to agency policies contained in Section 9.4 of the Statement of Procurement Policy. The Downtown Partnership has excelled in their local collaborations with local service agencies and the homeless outreach team, and consistently meeting programmatic requirements such as exceeding outcomes, fund utilization, and adhering to Housing Commission administrative deadlines. As part of Housing First San Diego, the Housing Commission funds were allocated to support the program and serve the downtown area. Under the Homeless Emergency Aid Program, or HEAP, additional state funds are available to cities experiencing a significant homeless crisis. As a result, additional funds are available for a 2-year expansion of the Family Reunification Program. The additional funding will expand the program's service area to include Bankers Hill, Balboa Park, Hillcrest, Barrio Logan, Golden Hill, and Sherman Heights, as well as downtown. With the expanded service areas, the program is anticipated to serve 1,400 individuals experiencing homelessness.
HEAP funding is authorized by Senate Bill 850, which was signed into law in June 2018. As previously mentioned, the funds are allocated to cities experiencing a severe homelessness crisis. HEAP funds must be contractually obligated by January 1, 2020, and completely expended by June 30, 2021. HEAP funds received by the city will be allocated in part to the Family Reunification Program. Of the $450,000 allocated to the program, a portion of which will be added to the existing contract via budget amendment for the current fiscal year. This will enable the Housing Commission to begin expanding the program quickly. The remaining $360,000 of HEAP funding will increase the fiscal year 2020 operating budget to ensure immediate operations ensue in the expanded service areas and serve an increased number of individuals experiencing homelessness during fiscal year 2020. Staff recommends that the Board of Commissioners take the actions as recommended in the staff report. And that concludes our presentation, and we, as well as representatives from the Downtown Partnership, are available to answer any questions.
Thank you. And just a quick note clarifying, it looks like the expanded area is entirely within the same council district. Are you working with that council district to determine? No, not within the same council district? Two districts. Thank you. Okay. Are you working with the council offices to kind of identify which neighborhoods are most applicable?
Yes, that was actually part of the development of the new sites.
Excellent. Locations. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm a big proponent of this program. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. The way that the Downtown Partnership administers this program has very good controls on it. I'm glad that you're recommending reinvestment into the program and expansion, because you want to go with a true and tried program that is actually delivering. So I'm a big proponent, and with that, I'll move staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Commissioner Tassin. Do we have a second or any other questions? Thank you. All those in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. And, oh, you told me you had something to say, too. I'm sorry. Rick?
Just a big shout-out to Betsy and her folks who are here today from the Downtown Partnership. One of the reasons I asked Lisa to put this two-pager together for you all, we've got a lot of stuff going on in the homelessness arena. It's hard to keep track of it. There's so many different things we're doing, which reflects the many different reasons why people do become homeless. So what we've tried to do over the last few years, since we've more and more ramped up our efforts in this arena, is to develop approaches, programs, techniques, methodologies, whatever you want to call them, to help deal with people where they are. And of all the things that we're doing, and the 6,451 folks that we've helped to either avoid homelessness or get off the streets since we launched this program in November 2014, the Downtown Partnerships program is perhaps the most efficient one that we've dealt with. And we appreciate the relationship, and we appreciate working with you guys. And this is a very good way to deal with this problem. So thank you.
Thank you. We voted, right? Okay. Thank you. Next up, item 102, the HEAP Memorandum of Understanding between the Housing Commission and the City of San Diego. Lisa and Deanna again.
Who's it?
Okay, take it away.
Good morning again. Yeah, we'll cover that. It's Lisa and Deanna again. Good to see you. This presentation will provide a brief overview of the funds awarded to the City of San Diego through the State of California's Homeless Emergency Aid Program, or HEAP, and will request your recommendation to approve entering into a memorandum of understanding with the City regarding the administration of a portion of the HEAP block grant funding that would be transferred to the Housing Commission. In 2018, Governor Brown signed Senate Bill 850, which is designed to provide state funds to municipalities and continuums of care to address the homelessness crisis throughout California. The City of San Diego was among the first cities to apply for its funding and was awarded $14,110,397.95. Since the funds are intended to provide immediate relief, the state has required that all funds be contractually obligated by January 1st, 2020. and completely expended by June 30th, 2021. On December 4th, 2018, the City Council took action to accept, appropriate, and expend the awarded HEAP funds in accordance with the priority programs outlined that was presented by the Mayor's Office to the City Council. The City is investing the HEAP funds it received into four categories: services, rental assistance or subsidies, capital improvements, and programs with a focus on youth experiencing homelessness. Examples of programming options include outreach and engagement, property storage, homelessness diversion, safe parking programs, the creation of a flexible housing spending pool, and costs associated with the relocation of the city's bridge shelter for single women and families with children operated by Father Joe's Villages.
The Housing Commission has administered the city's homeless shelters and services programs since 2010 through an MOU with the city. A similar arrangement would be established to facilitate the Housing Commission's administration of programs funded through the HEAP Block Grant. The city will be transferring funds to the Housing Commission to facilitate the expansion of existing services as well as the implementation of new programs. These activities include street-based outreach and engagement with the primary goal of creating additional citywide outreach teams, homelessness diversion, which will provide the expansion of the Family Reunification Program, as well as the Housing Commission's existing Homelessness Prevention and Diversion Program, property storage, which expands the availability of property storage facilities for individuals and families experiencing homelessness to safely store their personal belongings, safe parking program, which provides funding to support the city's current safe parking programs, as well as for the creation of additional locations oriented to households experiencing homelessness who currently reside in oversized or recreational vehicles. Flexible housing spending pool, which is aimed at creating a pool of funds that will support permanent and longer-term housing placements for clients served through the city's interim and bridge shelters. Funds for the expansion of the Housing Commission's Landlord Engagement and Assistance Program. Funds for additional rapid rehousing programs whose operator agreements were presented for approval earlier this morning. And finally, as required, 5% of the HEAP allocation will be dedicated to supporting programs that focus on youth experiencing homelessness by providing matching funds for initiatives that address gaps in homeless youth services in the City of San Diego as identified in the Youth Homelessness Demonstration Program Coordinated Community Plan. The total amount of the portion of the city's HEAP block grant to be transferred to the Housing Commission under the MOU is not final at this time. It will be finalized before the execution of the MOU upon mutual agreement of the Housing Commission and the city. Staff is requesting that you recommend that the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego take the following actions. Approve the execution of a memorandum of understanding in a form approved by General Counsel between the City of San Diego and the Housing Commission regarding the City's administration of Homeless Emergency Aid Program, block grant funding, and transferring a portion of the City's HEAP block grant funds to the Housing Commission for one-time uses that address homelessness in compliance with the terms of HEAP block grant agreement between the City and the State of California's Business, Consumer Services, and Housing Agency, and authorize the President and CEO of the Housing Commission, or designee, to execute the final negotiated MOU and any and all amendments thereto in a form approved by General Counsel, and to take all actions necessary to implement these approvals. In addition, staff requests that you recommend that the City Council take the following actions. Approve an MOU between the City and the Housing Commission regarding the City's administration of the HEAP block grant funding and authorize the mayor or designee to execute an MOU and any and all amendments thereto in a form approved by the City Attorney on behalf of the City and to take all actions necessary to implement these approvals. That concludes our presentation and we are available for any questions.
Commissioner, questions?
This often what I do is not a question, it's a comment, so forgive me. And I want you to know I'm in favor of the program, and I'm going to vote for its passage, and I'm happy to move so at the end of my comments. One of the items that I see reviewing these last three motions, these last three items, is that SB 850 is one-time funding coming through, and it sunsets. And the Housing Commission, I think much to its credit and much to the need, has absorbed significant obligations. And there's nobody else to do it. There's a ton of service providers helping in that, but the Housing Commission has taken a lead in that. Now in 2019, with our economy moving in a very positive way, the state stepping in and helping these one-time fundings, I think everybody can tell where I'm going, which is now is probably the time where, as we approve these programs, I think housing commissioners, us looking forward, our job is to look forward for the agency as well, not just approve what's currently there or help guide the agency. We should encourage ourselves to start to think about in 2021 when these programs expire, where that revenue comes from. Because these are going to be great programs. They are great programs that are existing and doing good work. And is the obligation then going to be on the Housing Commission to take money away from preserving, constructing affordable housing in potentially a time period when we can acquire a great deal, right, and make some movement on that? Or is the obligation going to come from somewhere else? And so I would encourage us, well, I applaud these programs. I'm in favor of these programs. This is great work. Don't misunderstand me. I would encourage us to, as board members, to think about, start planning for that 2021, 2022 time period to engage where those obligations will be filled, because I just have the fear, as we see these excellent programs, that there will be a gap in funding and the Housing Commission will be left finding places to fill that gap from places that historically they haven't had to. So again, a comment, I'm in favor of it, and I move for its passage, and I'm happy to do that, but I felt that I needed to share that.
I'll second that, and may I ask a question, Madam Chair? Of staff, are there any expectations from this any of these organizations that we're funding that we will continue, that this is going to be an annual funding?
These are specifically term limited to term out on June 30th, 2021, when the funding ends.
So it's clear to everybody, that everybody understands that this is going to be a year-to-year deal, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And that the Housing Commission is not going to be obligated to go to their general fund in order to continue to fund them.
That's how the RFP was stated and how the sole source contract was stated with Family Reunification as well.
Okay, because yeah. I think Commissioner Walsh is position is excellent. I mean, that's a real concern. It's prudent for us to be thinking along those lines. But as long as everybody understands, these are year-to-year funding grants that are provided by the state of California. And to the extent that we're not getting that funding any longer, then we're unable to continue to fund those programs.
Correct. And frankly, all of our contracts dictate that contract continuing, whether it has option years left or not, is contingent on funding being available for that purpose.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. I just have one quick question and we'll go to a vote. So I understand that the actual amount of money that will come to the commission is still kind of TBD, but we have priority programming funded within a dollar of what that is. So what are we still negotiating on what the city will provide?
I just turned myself off. So there's some determination still being made, particularly around the $1.3 million that was sort of dedicated towards homeless outreach. The RTFH also received $18 million in HEAP funding. They released an RFP, which closed last month. We expect to hear the outcome of that RFP around the week of the 20th of May. Some of the projects that were submitted for approval that actually some of the providers consulted with us on were specific to the city around outreach. So it may be that we use some of that fund to enhance or, you know, elevate some of that, but it might be that funding might be better used for another purpose. So we want to be flexible in that. So there's some unknowns around that funding in particular. So that's why we're still working through some of those.
I like to compare and contrast two of our biggest programs right now. One is the Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program, which is a high-volume but very uniform program, has some variations in it, but is a very efficient way to do business. And in that program's been around since 1975. It's only had one decrease in funding over that time period, which was in sequestration in 2013, where we lost 723 vouchers. Now, that's one that's relatively simple to plan for and to deal with because, again, it's high-volume, similar program. Homelessness is just the opposite. It's low-volume and can be maddeningly complicated and complex with programs starting and stopping. And we make sure that every commitment we make is based on the funding we have available. There's only been one exception to that in the near 11 years I have been here, and that's been the shelter program due to the health crisis that occurred 2.5 years ago. So I want to assure the board that anything we get into will have a way to also get out of, as we don't have funding to pay for it.
Thank you. I think we're ready to call the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 103, the MOU between the City of San Diego and the San Diego Housing Commission regarding the City of San Diego's administration of the Federal Home Investment Partnership Program.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Mr. Christensen. Item 103 is a memorandum of understanding between the City and the San Diego Housing Commission regarding the administration of the Federal Home Investments Partnership Program. Liliana Caracosa is here with me today, a senior program analyst, and she will give the staff report.
Thank you, Wendy. Good morning, Chair Benvenuto, Commissioners Mr. Gentry and Mr. Christensen, Liliana Caracosa, Senior Program Analyst, Real Estate Division. The item before you today is the approval and recommendation that the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego and the San Diego City Council approve the execution of a Memorandum of Understanding and a Subrecipient Agreement in a form approved by General Counsel between the City of San Diego and the San Diego Housing Commission regarding the City of San Diego's administration of the Federal Home Investment Partnership Program. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development awards home funds annually through a formula grant to participating jurisdictions. The City of San Diego is the participating jurisdiction, and the San Diego Housing Commission is the subrecipient as defined by the Home Rule. The Housing Commission has administered the home program on behalf of the city since 1991. Staff recommends approval of the Memorandum of Understanding and Subrecipient Agreement in a form approved by General Counsel. Our current MOU is due to expire June 30th of this year. The term of the proposed Memorandum of Understanding is consistent with the city's consolidated plan, which runs from fiscal years 20 through 24. A new subrecipient agreement will be executed annually. The subrecipient agreement outlines budget and activity allocation for the upcoming fiscal year. Approval of the action will allow for uninterrupted administration of the home program by the Housing Commission and continued funding of eligible activities consistent with the city's 5-year consolidated plan. The city is the entity who initiates the draft of the MOU. Then the city attorney's office, along with our legal counsel and staff input, agreed to the terms prior to executing the agreement. The city staff presented the draft fiscal year 2020 through 2024 consolidated plan to City Council on April 23rd. Two of the action items included authorization to negotiate and enter into an MOU with the Housing Commission for the administration of the home program and the CDBG Affordable Housing Revolving Loan Fund program as well. In line with the city's recent approval, we are bringing this similar item to your request today. Thank you for your time, and we are happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Move approval.
Thank you. We have a motion. Thank you. All those in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 104, the MOU between the City of San Diego and the San Diego Housing Commission regarding the City of San Diego's administration of the Community Development Block Grant Affordable Housing Revolving Loan Fund.
All right. Item 104 is another memorandum of understanding, and Liliana will give you the staff report and explain a little bit more about what this one is.
Good morning again. The item before you today is the approval and recommendation that the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego and the San Diego City Council approve the execution of a Memorandum of Understanding and Scope of Services and Budget in a form approved by General Counsel between the City of San Diego and the San Diego Housing Commission regarding the City of San Diego's administration of the Community Development Block Grant Affordable Housing Revolving Loan Fund. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development awards CDBG funds annually through a formula grant to participating jurisdictions. The City of San Diego is the participating jurisdiction, and the Housing Commission is the subgrantee as defined by CDBG regulations. The Housing Commission has administered the CDBG Affordable Housing Revolving Loan Fund on behalf of the city starting in fiscal year 2017. Staff recommends approval of the Memorandum of Understanding and Scope of Services and Budget in a form approved by General Counsel. As well, our current MOU is due to expire with the City on June 30th of this year. The term of the proposed Memorandum of Understanding is consistent with the City's upcoming five-year consolidated plan. A new scope of services and budget will be executed annually. The scope of services and budget outlines budget and activity allocation for the upcoming fiscal year. Approval of the action will allow for uninterrupted administration of the CDBG Affordable Housing Revolving Loan Fund by the Housing Commission and continue to fund eligible activities consistent with the consolidated plan. The City staff presented the draft fiscal year 20-24 consolidated plan to City Council on April 23rd, and again, two of their action items include an authorization to negotiate and enter into an MOU with the Housing Commission for the administration of the Home and CDBG Affordable Housing Revolving Loan Fund programs. In line with the City's recent approval, we are bringing this similar item to you today. Thank you, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Motion? We've got a motion here. Second, thank you. All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. On to item 105, Jamboree San Ysidro Permanent Supportive Housing Apartments Loan Recommendation.
Okay. Good morning, Chair Benvenuto, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Mr. Christensen. I'm Colin Miller, Vice President of Multifamily Housing Finance, and this morning we have three loan approvals for your consideration. The first two are partnerships with Father Joe's Villages and Chelsea Investment Corporation, who have successfully completed multiple projects with the Housing Commission and are in good standing. The third is with Jamboree Housing Corporation, an experienced developer that is based in Orange County. This is their first deal with the San Diego Housing Commission. However, they are, as I mentioned, they are an experienced developer who has been developing projects since 1990. They have a real estate portfolio of over $1.1 billion, making them the second largest nonprofit affordable housing developer in the state and the fifth largest in the country. We are very pleased to present these projects to you and will be available along with the developers to answer any questions that you may have. With that, I'll turn the presentation over to Joe Correa, our Senior Real Estate Project Manager.
Good morning, Commissioners. This first item is the Jamboree San Ysidro Permanent Supportive Housing Apartments Loan Recommendation. It is new construction of 64 affordable rental housing units and a manager's unit. They said push the bottom one. Well, it was a great PowerPoint.
There we go. All right. Still is. Down arrow.
All right. Thank you. All right. The recommendations are first that the Housing Commission approve a residual receipts loan of up to $4.2 million to a limited partnership to be formed by the Jamboree Housing Corporation for new construction of 64 affordable rental housing units for families experiencing homelessness. It's to be located at 429 and 437 West San Ysidro Boulevard. It will remain affordable for 55 years, and the loan would be contingent on the developer receiving necessary third-party financing. Oh, I went too far. The second recommendation is to authorize the President and Chief Executive Officer to execute documents, suggest terms, perform necessary acts to implement with the General Counsel's advice, and substitute funds if necessary. However, the up to $4.2 million proposed loan amount may not increase. This is, as I say, the proposed new construction of 64 affordable rental housing units for families experiencing homelessness. 25 of the units will be for families that include individuals with a mental disability. It's a proposed mix of one-bedroom, two-bedroom, three-bedroom units in one building. It's a 1.75-acre site. Currently, it has existing occupied single-family homes, two of them built in 1928. these existing units would need to be demolished, and permanent relocation of the existing 10 households is necessary. I think our board report referred to three households, and we've been informed by the developer that there's now only one household, that the others moved out with appropriate notice and appropriate approvals by the relocation consultant. Overland Pacific Cutler is the relocation consultant, and there are development details summarized in Table 1, page 2 of the report. The developer is Jamboree Housing Corporation. They are an experienced nonprofit developer. They're located in Orange County. Founded in 1990, they have over $1 billion as an asset portfolio. They're one of the largest affordable housing developers in California. They have not previously done any loans with the Housing Commission. They've not previously applied for any Housing Commission loans. The supportive services will be provided by a Santa Monica-based nonprofit called Step Up on Second, and they are also very experienced in permanent supportive housing development in Los Angeles, in Orange County, in Riverside, and San Bernardino. There is a development team summary in your page 5 report at Table 2. The development will be supported by the Housing for San Diego, the Housing Commission's Homelessness Action Plan. Here I have a location map that shows you where this is, in San Ysidro. It's two contiguous lots, as you can see here in the next slide. Estimated sources and uses are summarized in Table 3, page 5 of the report. The developer is requesting a $4.2 million residual receipts loan from the commission. If you approve today's proposed action, then the developer will be applying to the State Tax Credit Allocation Committee, TCAC, for approximately $17.1 million in competitive 9% tax credits. Also, they're applying for a $6.9 million loan from the County of San Diego. The Housing Commission staff has previously provided a preliminary recommendation award letter for 64 federal project-based housing vouchers. Total development cost is $31.6 million, $486,313 per unit. The project costs do include prevailing wage because of the inclusion of vouchers and the amount of the home-funded restricted units. There's a summary at Table 4, page 6, with key performance indicators, and at page 7, we summarize some comparable development projects for you. Affordability will be at 25% of very median income, which is quite low. Affordability is summarized in Table 6 at page 7 of the report. The timeline estimated at page 8 of the report, if you approve today's proposal, they will apply for 9% tax credits with TCAG on July 1. Hopefully, they would be approved at a September 25th meeting of TCAG. Estimated escrow closing and construction start in March of 2020 and construction completion July of 2021. And I've included an artist rendering for you so to get a feel for what it would look like. With us today is staff, I believe, for Jamboree Housing, and we and she are available for questions. Let me turn it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Great program. I'm very familiar with the site, Mr. Correa, and certainly there's it's a part of town that's it's really needed. We oftentimes will do business with developers for the first time, so that's not unique. Tell me about the supportive services partnership. What kind of services do we anticipate they'll be providing to these tenants?
Well, let me ask Vicki Ramirez to perhaps respond to that. Vicki is with Jamboree Housing Corporation.
Okay, good morning. So the supportive services will be in partnership with Step Up on Second, and typical for the population that we'll be serving are case management, access to substance abuse programs, health and wellness, whatever is necessary. Typically when residents move into the units, a survey is done, and we will have case managers on site to specifically, you know, figure out what the needs are and then tailor our supportive services program in partnership with Step Up on Second and Jamboree Housing's Community Impact Group.
Thank you, Ms. Ramirez. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, if I can continue for just a second.
Sure.
These supportive services contracts or agreements are important to the success of this operation, aren't they?
Yes. They're critical.
They're critical. Yes. And I take it that maybe you guys have done you've partnered with this organization in the past?
We have. We've partnered with Step Up on Second. Our first project with them was about 3 years ago in the city of Anaheim. Similar population at 70 units. 48 are set aside for homeless individuals and families, and 15 are set aside for households who are homeless and have a mental health diagnosis.
How important is it for that supportive services partner to have a feel for the area, for the services that are provided in a respective area?
I think it is quite important. I think they're used to dealing with the population, so that's very important. But in addition to that, they also need to make connections in the San Diego area to service providers that can help augment the services that are already being provided. But we feel confident that given Step Up on Second and Jamboree's past experience, totaling over 30 years, we'll be able to make those connections and not only provide the appropriate services on site, but also connect residents to other local service providers, of which there are many in San Diego.
Thank you. Did you guys consider in establishing this partnership of talking with some local supportive services providers?
Yes, we did. In fact, we did start talking to one provider at one point, but found that the services that they were able to provide for our population weren't what would probably be needed for this population. So we decided, and I don't think they were also able to provide the services, just given the scale of the project.
Yeah. Madam Chair, thank you, Ms. Ramirez. Appreciate that. Madam Chair, where I'm going with this is that I welcome the opportunity to do business with a developer from wherever. My issue is that I think that we have some very well-proven support providers here in San Diego that know the area, it seems to me that you would want to be able to be partnering with somebody that is familiar with the local area. And so it struck me that in reading the staff report that we wouldn't have partnered with somebody locally that knows the services, that knows what the environment is like here to offer those services. So I just wanted to voice that. That's an issue that caught my attention.
Are there other questions?
Mr. Walsh? How confident are you in the 9% tax, right, getting the 9% tax credit?
Given our development budget and the public sources that we're anticipating, we feel we have a very strong tiebreaker score that would make us very competitive. And given some of the first round preliminary numbers that we're seeing, our tiebreaker score is well within what would probably get an allocation in the first round.
To follow up on that, do you have a contingency plan? Is there, what's the backup?
The backup? Well, we'll definitely apply for 9% credits if we're successful here in July and March. And if we're not able to secure 9% credits, we'll probably look at a 4% scenario and introduce another funding source, perhaps MHP, another state funding mm-hmm. source, like a multifamily housing program.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Is there a motion? Thank you. So do we have a second? Thank you. All those in favor? Okay. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. Welcome to San Diego, Jamboree. Thank you. Item 106, the loan recommendation and preliminary bond authorization for 14th and Commercial Apartments.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'm still Joe Correa, and this is the 14th in commercial apartments, loan recommendation and preliminary bond authorization. The recommendations are first that the Housing Commission approve a residual receipts loan up to $6.150 million to 14th and Commercial CICLP for new construction of 326 affordable rental housing units for low and very low income tenants. It will be located at 1402 Commercial Street. It will include 93 units for low and very low income tenants, plus an additional 230 units for low and very low income persons experiencing homelessness with an identified disability. It will remain affordable for 55 years. And as with our other loans, the loan will be contingent upon the developer receiving the necessary third-party funding. Second, recommendation would be to authorize the President and CEO to execute documents, adjust terms as necessary, perform necessary acts to implement with the General Counsel's advice, substitute funds if necessary, and as usual, the maximum $6.150 million proposed total loan may not increase. Third recommendation, the Housing Authority approve initial steps to issue up to $101 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing rating bonds. That would include the usual preliminary steps of issuing a bond inducement resolution, authorizing a bond allocation application to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, approving a bond counsel and financial advisor. Bond final approval would be required to come back to you if they are successful in obtaining an allocation, and also back to the Housing Authority at a later date. Oh, I forgot to mention, excuse me, fourth recommendation is that the Housing, the City Council hold a TEFRA hearing, Tax Equity Fiscal Responsibility Act hearing, and that is recommendation number four. That is held at the same time that we go to Housing Authority for approval of the bond issuance. Next, as I said, this is proposed new construction. It features two contiguous residential high-rise buildings on one site. This is basically a situation where we have two projects before you today, 14 VHHP apartments and 14th Commercial. They are bifurcated. They were starting out as one project, but because of certain financing issues, specifically, it was determined that some state funds and some veterans funds could not be layered onto the same units. So the developer's solution was to split the project into two. So now we have 326 on this project and 81 on the project that I'm going to present to you next. In effect, there are companion reports, very similar, except for certain differences in financing, but it would be pretty much similar, bifurcated, combined. This would be a 14-story building and a 7-story building, and we'd be closing both projects simultaneously, and a condominium plan would be used to separate the two projects legally. We would have separate loans, separate bond issues, and the two projects would be processed as two separate companion items, which they are shown on your agenda today. This project, 326 of the 407 total units. As I said, it includes 93 units of very low income, 230 supportive housing units for homeless persons with identified disability. It's a 14-story building, 65 parking spaces. It's transit-oriented near the 12th and Imperial Trolley Station. There's a mix of 281 studios, 17 ones, 25 twos, and three unrestricted units for managers. It is supported by Housing for San Diego, the Homelessness Action Plan, and I have development details summarized for you, page 3 of the report, table 1. There are co-developers on this project, SVDP Management, which is Father Joe's under a different name, and the for-profit Chelsea Investment Corporation. They're both experienced developers. They both have previously obtained housing commission loans and have successfully implemented them. They are requesting 6.150000 as a residual receipts loan, $6.1 million. Housing Authority to issue $101 million of tax-exempt multifamily housing mortgage revenue bonds. And under the current permanent supportive housing NOFA, the developer applied for and received a preliminary approval for 230 federal project-based housing vouchers. There is a development team summary on page 6, table 2 of your report. This is a map. I'm sure you're all familiar with the downtown area and familiar with Father Joe's area. This is very close to where they are currently located. That shows you an overall view of the subject. It is currently a parking lot area, and that gives you an overall of the plat map. That's sort of how it looked when this picture was taken. Estimated sources and uses are summarized at page 7, table 3. The developers are requesting $6.15 million residual receipts loan from the commission. If you approve today's action, they will be applying for state tax credit allocation committee approval for 4% tax credits. Also, they've applied for a loan from the County of San Diego and from the State Department of Housing and Community Development. The total development cost for this portion, this project, is $150 million, about 4.6206 per unit. Project costs include prevailing wages because of the vouchers and because of use of certain home fund amounts. There's a summary at table 4, page 8 of the report, showing you key performance indicators that we typically include with our board reports. And at table 5, again, another typically included table comparable development projects at page 9. Affordability. This ranges from 25 to 50% of every median income, and this is summarized in your report, page 10, table 6. Milestones. Our estimated timeline is if you approve today's proposal, they would apply to the state, well, we'd go to the Housing Authority on the 14th of May, and then they would apply to the State Tax Credit Allocation Committee on May 17, hopefully a positive return there on July 17, with allocations on both tax credits and bonds. We would then return to you and to the Housing Authority for final bond issuance approval, likely in the July to September timeframe. Estimated bond issuance and escrow closing in November of this year. Estimated construction start in December of this year. Construction completion December 21. As with all our bond issuances, the developer is responsible for paying all costs under the bond financing. The bonds do not financially obligate the city, the Housing Authority, or the Housing Commission, and neither the full faith and credit or taxing power of the city nor full faith and credit of the Housing Authority are pledged to the payment. The bond proposed amount is $101 million in tax-exempt bonds. I've sort of summarized for you the combined two projects, even though this is for only one of the two. As you can see there, it gives you a rough idea of the combined Housing Commission loan amounts for both projects at 11.5. This project, 6.15. The next one I'm going to present to you is 5.35. The unit count totals 407 units. The Housing Commission per unit of the combined is approximately $28,000. Total development costs combined is about $186 million. Total development costs, $456,802 combined. So that gives you a rough idea of looking at it as an overall combined project, which is what it's going to end up being operated that way. This is how it will look. Let me see if I can operate this pointer. Wow, look at that. Here is the building right there. And this is an artist's rendering, just for your information. I have available with us today representatives from the developers, and they're available for questions. So let me turn it over to you for any questions.
We also have the option of possibly, Chuck, tell me if I'm wrong, taking both of these together. Would that maybe help the commissioners to see both sides of this in totality, or do you want to just take this one and then hear the second half? Okay, could we just move on into the next item, and then we'll hopefully just do a join?
Okay, this item, can you move it on to me for the next one? I'll go there, yeah. All right, well, while they're loading that, this item is 14C, VHHP Apartments, Loan Recommendation and Preliminary Bond Authorization. This is a companion report to the previous item. Recommendations are, first, Housing Commission approval of residual streets loan up to 5.35000 to the for the borrower for new construction of 81 units. So that's one difference between these two. The earlier one was 6.15 million, and this one is 5.350 million. They are separate borrowers. So we have two separate entities that will be owning the two different projects. This is 81 units, where the previous project was 326 units. Again, located for 1402 Commercial Street. It will have 80 affordable units for low and very low-income individuals experiencing homelessness with an identified disability. Also remaining affordable 55 years, also contingent upon the developer receiving third-party funding. Second, recommendation, as with the previous project, Chief Executive Officer to execute documents, adjust terms, perform necessary acts, substitute funds if necessary. The total required loan, requested loan may not increase without your prior approval. Third recommendation, initial steps approved by you to issue $22 million. Remember, the previous one was $101 million of tax-exempt bonds. This one is an additional $22 million of tax-exempt bonds. We would request the Housing Authority to issue a bond inducement resolution, authorize an application to the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, approve a bond council financial advisor, which would be the same on both projects, same financial advisor and bond council. Bond final approval will be required by you and by the Housing Authority at a later date if they are successful in getting their allocations from the state. Fourth, the City Council will have to hold a IRS-required Tax Equity Fiscal Responsibility Act hearing. This is a proposed new construction. Again, two contiguous high-rises, 14-story and 7-story. And as I related to you before, certain financing issues of layering restrictions from two different projects in the same one project necessitated bifurcating the two projects into separate projects. A 326-unit, 14th commercial, previous report, and an 81-unit 14C VHHP project. Both projects will close simultaneously. Separate loans, separate bond issues, and processed as companion reports. Units to be constructed, 7-story building, 16 parking spaces, transit-oriented, of course, near the 12th Imperial Trolley Station, a mix of studios, 1 bedrooms, and 1 unrestricted manager's unit, supported by Housing First San Diego, and their development details in Table 1, Page 3 of the report. As I noted before, the co-developers, the nonprofit SVDP Management and the for-profit Chelsea Investment Corporation, both are experienced, both have obtained housing commission loans, both have done a great job in the past. Co-developers are requesting $5,350,000 residual loan, a Housing Authority issuance of $22 million of tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds, and they have also applied for and received preliminary approval for 40 federal project-based housing vouchers. So as we said before, the other project had 230 vouchers. This one has 40. Development team summary at table 2, page 6 of the report. Here's the location map, which I'm sure you know downtown very well. There is the subject area. There is the plat map. That's what it looked like when we took this picture, a parking lot area. And estimated sources and uses. They're requesting 5.35000 residual receipts loan, and they would be applying to State Tax Credit Allocation Committee approval of 4% tax credits if you approve today's actions. They're also working on a Veterans Housing and Homeless Prevention Program loan from the Veterans Administration. So that's one difference between the two. The veterans restrictions could not be slapped onto some of the state funding that's on the other project. Project costs do include prevailing wages because of vouchers and the use of home funds. I have included a summary table, number 4 at page 8 with performance indicators, and at page 8 also comparable development project summary as table 5. Affordability. Affordability will range from 30% to 60% of area median income, and that is summarized in your table 6 of page 10 of the report. The timeline is exactly the same as the timeline for the other project. Going to the Housing Authority on May 14th, applying to the State Tax Credit Allocation Committee on the 17th of May. Hopefully they have an approval meeting for tax credits and bonds on July 17th. We would then return to the Commission and the Authority in July and September. Bond issuance as we're closing in November this year. Construction start December. Construction completion December 21. And as with the other project, the developer is responsible for paying all costs of the bond financing, not financially obligating the city, the Commission, or the Authority. Full faith and credit of the city and Housing Authority are not pledged to paying the bonds. And the proposal is to issue $22 million in tax-exempt bonds. And once again, this is the slide I showed you before, the combination of the two projects. Exactly the same slide I showed you on the other project. There it is again. And the artist's rendering. I have available developers, representatives from Chelsea and from SVDP available for questions. So let me turn it over to you for questions.
Hi. My question is regarding the parking. I noticed that the first one is 326 units, but only 65 parking spaces, and I do realize not every unit will have a vehicle, so maybe approximately 200 will be left without parking. Why is it so little parking, and how is the parking around that area for the residents that do not have a parking space?
Well, let me ask one of the developers' representatives to respond to that. I could give you an answer, but I think they would do a better job.
Good morning. Sorry, long walk. Bill Bolstead here with Father Joe's Villages, otherwise known as SVDP Management. I think the question was really about the parking, right, is what I understood. You were asking why so few. Largely, it's because a couple things. One is that the building's largely single-room occupancies. We have a number of these projects, or I should say efficiencies. They're small units. What we find in most of our projects is that we've overparked them in the past. We have too many parking spaces. Also, there were constraints on the site in terms of cost. We looked at trying to add additional parking, and it was exorbitant. At one point, we tried to go down underground. It cost us an extra $11 million, and we couldn't find the financing. So between the need for that we see within our buildings and the added cost, we didn't add any additional parking.
Okay, thank you. And so what about those residents who will have parking? So let's say maybe it's only 100 that will be left without parking. How will they find parking around that area? Have you assessed that You know, like how easy will it be for them to be able to find parking at nighttime? You know, how far away will they have to park, things like that?
That's a good question. We believe that the parking is adequate to address the need for the folks in the building. So some people may occasionally need to look for parking in the area. There is some, but we don't anticipate it being a big need.
Could you talk about the proximity to the trolley, the transit-oriented development component to this?
That's a great point, because it is transit-oriented. It's about it's a block and a half to Trolley Towers. This is the bus line that runs down Imperial as well, so we do anticipate that folks will be using public transit. We have a program we'll be offering transit vouchers as well to a lot of the clientele in the building, and we'll have a pretty good-sized bike lobby in there, if you will, a bike parking area. So we do anticipate people using a lot of different alternative forms of transportation to get around, and that's what we find typically with our clientele in other buildings as well.
Just briefly, that was my question, too. For example, the 7-story, the smaller building, has 81 units and only 16 parking spaces, and one of those will be a manager. So it'll be 15 parking spaces for 81 units. And as people attempt to become employed or have different things happen in their life, a lot of them will need parking. So you're kind of saying what is your availability, again, around that area for parking? It doesn't sound like there's much space for it.
You know, it's a good question. I think in the area, there is a fair amount of sidewalk parking along National right now, along Commercial as well. So there definitely is parking nearby, if it comes to that, if we do have additional people that need parking beyond what's offered in the project.
If I could also just point out that, Bill, you correct me, or Joe or Colin, if I misstate this, the parking availability here complies with the city standards for this type of facility. And the thinking is that this population will have few automobiles among people who are expected to live here. And it's consistent with other properties we've done. I'll point out that the Churchill Hotel has no parking. The Sanford Hotel has no parking. What's the hotel right next to Sanford? The Mason Hotel, all these are our own properties, has no parking. The San Diego Square next door has 20-some parking spaces for 157 units. I know that 1250B, which was done about 10 years ago up on at 1250B Street, has 0.5 parking spaces per number of units, which was a standard then. So, and this is also consistent with the continuing urbanization of San Diego. And you've seen in the press a lot of debate on what the parking requirements should be. So I think you're going to see more and more of this kind of building, particularly where the building is on or near either a trolley line, a bus line, or other public transportation. And if this did not fit the city standards, the city wouldn't approve it in the first place.
Madam Chair, I move approval of both items.
Second, further questions, comments? Oh, okay. We'll give it to Commissioner Hubbard. And with regard to the parking, it's an issue that I think gives a lot of people significant heartburn. It is it's a transition for some, certainly a concern for the employment aspect as well. I share that. So I look forward to hearing how the voucher system goes with the passes, and very excited about this project. And I think we have to recognize the cost that would be incurred if we were to park things to the level where everybody would have a spot. Just it would limit our ability to make sure our funds go as far as they can. So with that, we'll call the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Are you opposed? Motion passes. Rick?
If you give me the vote, I'll take it, but I don't think that would work. Now that you've passed this, well, let me point out something. Sometimes you all will hear criticism about the cost of this kind of housing. Let me point out something to you just for my third grade understanding of numbers here. We are investing in these two properties, this contiguous site, some $11.5 million in city affordable housing funding. So that's the kind of money we're putting into this, $11.5 million. That induces $123 million Texas bonds number, which will cover them with other sources, $185 million in construction cost, $185 million to house the 173 people. And the $11.5 million that we put into that is the key to making it work. So I think that the leverage factor here is huge in getting necessary investments in housing for the people we are designed to serve. And I just wanted to point that out, not trying to confuse you, but just to point out the huge leverage factor that our monies produce in making this stuff work. And thank you, Madam Chair.
You bet. Thank you for the comments. Item 108, the fiscal year 2020 City of San Diego Bridge Shelter Program's 12-month operating agreements. And so, welcome back.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Jeff Davis, Executive Vice President and Chief of Staff. With me is Lisa Jones, Senior Vice President of Homeless Housing Innovations. We are presenting this morning staff's recommendation regarding the execution of operating agreements for the continuing operations of the city's Bridge Shelter Program and the renewal of the Memorandum of Understanding between the Housing Commission and City of San Diego for the administration of the program. In November 2017, the Housing Commission Board, Housing Authority, and City Council authorized a Memorandum of Understanding between the City and the Housing Commission for the oversight and administration of the Bridge Shelters. In addition, agreements for the operations of the three shelters were authorized for an initial period of December 1, 2017 through June 30, 2018. In May of last year, the MOU was extended for a one-year term, July 1, 2018 through June 30, 2019. And on September 18, 2018, the Housing Authority approved the renewal of the operating agreements from October 1 through June 30, 2019. The city's Bridge Shelter Program uses the Housing First model to offer safe, low-barrier temporary housing and services to homeless individuals and families to prepare them for a permanent or longer-term housing solution. The Housing Commission contracts with three providers to operate the three bridge shelters, which provide a total of 674 shelter beds. The shelter operated by Father Joe's Villages provides 150 beds for families with children and single women. Alpha Project operates the shelter for single adults, which provides 324 beds. And the shelter operated by Veteran Villages of San Diego provides 200 beds for veterans.
The coordinated entry system is the region-wide system for referring households experiencing homelessness to permanent housing resources. As part of the Bridge Shelter's original program design, persons experiencing homelessness within the City of San Diego that have been matched to a housing resource through the coordinated entry system are prioritized for shelter entry when beds are available. The Coordinated Entry System, or CES, is currently undergoing a restructuring, which requires modification of the current priority levels used to determine bridge shelter placements. The proposal we are providing reduces the number of prioritization levels from 4 to 3 and uses a data-driven approach to prioritize those placements. The new recommended service levels are Service Level 1, Referred Households. These are households who have been referred to a permanent housing provider in the Coordinated Entry System. Service Level 2, Service-Connected Households, are households who have not been referred to a permanent housing provider in CES, but are active on the CES prioritized by-name list before they enter the bridge shelter. Service Level 3 is Unconnected Households. These are households which are not active on the CES prioritized by-name list before they enter the shelter, or they are newly entered into the Homeless Management Information System. The redefined service levels reflect how the redesigned CES operates. It is a more simplified and streamlined system that is intended to create better access to available housing subsidies. Additionally, a household service level designation at entry will help to inform case planning at the bridge shelters. For Service Level 1 households, bridge shelter staff will focus on ensuring the household is engaged in communications with their permanent housing provider. Shelter staff will also work with that provider to exit the household to permanent housing as quickly as possible. For Service Level 2 households, Bridge Shelter staff will focus on next steps to achieve a permanent or longer-term housing solution through further assessments in the Homeless Management Information System, or HMIS, as well as advocacy and case conferencing for appropriate permanent housing resources through CES. Staff will also provide case management to work to resolve homelessness outside of the resources available in CES. For service level 3 households who are newly homeless or are not active on the CES by name list, staff will focus on engaging the households in diversion conversations to resolve homelessness, beginning triage assessments in HMIS, and identifying household needs regarding permanent housing solution if diversion attempts are not successful. Lastly, the redefined service levels allow for more accurate and automated reporting through HMIS system. In September 2018, the Housing Commission Board, City Council, and Housing Authority authorized the execution of agreements for the operation of the city's bridge shelters for a period of 9 months, from October 1, 2018 through June 30, 2019. This approval increased overall funding for the city's bridge shelter programs to allow for staffing increases as recommended by the third-party evaluation conducted by Focus Strategies in July 2018. The recommended staffing increases are intended to provide stabilization to the high-need population being served, to augment the implemented staffing changes and bring robust supports to the shelter operators. The Housing Commission is procuring industry experts to provide intensive housing-focused shelter training and technical assistance to the bridge shelter operators through fiscal year 2020. This intensive training will enhance the housing-focused services that are currently being provided and continue to emphasize and maintain staff focus on assisting individuals and families in shelter to identify and connect to the most appropriate housing solutions as quickly as possible. The Housing Commission will also include the city's interim shelter programs in this intensive training plan in an effort to enrich and align shelter services across the city. This training and technical assistance endeavor will include an after-action evaluation to identify advances in service delivery that have been achieved during the proposed 12-month operator agreements and what additional actions and supports would best support the outcomes of the bridge shelter and interim shelter programs. The bridge shelter for single adults and the veterans shelter opened in December 2017, and the shelter for single women and families opened in January 2018. Since these shelters opened, they have served a total of 3,801 people. Of the population served since shelter opening, 47% across all three bridge shelters entered the shelters with no income. 63% had a physical disability, and 40% were chronically homeless. 33% were 55 years of age or older. The occupancy rates at the three shelters remain high since shelter opening, and the average occupancy rate across the three shelters has remained at 95% or above. In September 2018, based on recommendations from a third-party evaluator, the City Council and Housing Authority adopted new metrics to gauge program performance related to exits to housing. The metric was updated to reflect positive exits as compared to overall exits. Positive exits consist of exits to permanent or longer-term housing for persons who have remained in shelter for 30 days or more. From shelter opening through March 20, 2019, there have been 499 positive housing exits. This includes 419 exits to permanent housing and 80 exits to longer-term housing, for an average positive exit rate of 38%. In addition, 235 individuals exiting the shelters in less than 30 days also exited to permanent or other longer-term housing. Of the funding proposed with this action, $11.3 million is included in the Housing Commission's fiscal year 2020 budget for the three providers. An additional $296,955 is included for Housing Commission administrative costs and contingencies, which includes $75,000 to conduct the intensive housing-focused shelter, third-party training activities, and after-action evaluation. The bridge shelters operated by Alpha Project and Veterans Village of San Diego are funded using Housing Commission Moving to Work funds and Housing Commission property reserves. The bridge shelter operated by Father Joe's Villages is funded using Housing Commission property reserves. Staff is requesting that the Board of Commissioners recommend that the Housing Authority and City Council take the actions that are detailed more specifically in Housing Commission Report Number HCR-19-054 and on the following slides to continue operations of the city's three bridge shelters for a 12-month term through June 30, 2020. That concludes our presentation. We're available to answer any questions, and we also have representatives from each operator with us today.
Commissioner, questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to the budget impact issue. In the first year of operations of this, who was paying for those expenses?
Through the entire existence of these programs, the Housing Commission has been paying for the program.
Has there been any support from anybody outside the Housing Commission on this?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. The city did make a commitment to reimburse us, if you will, for the expenses, and up to this point, they have done so. We are not as confident that that's going to continue in the next fiscal year.
So I was aware of that, and that's where I wanted to go with this. The dynamic here that's different is that this now will be incurred by the Housing Commission, right?
As of this point, that's what it appears to be, yes.
Are there any other funding sources that the Housing Commission is looking at to be able to augment that those expenditures?
There are no new funds, so they will have to continue to be paid out of programs that would otherwise use those funds to further their purpose.
Thank you.
Let me further explain if I could, and this is going to be reflected in the budget proposal coming up to you all in a few minutes. And in that total $452 million budget for next year, this is the only problematic area. 2.5 years ago, when the Hep A crisis hit San Diego, and there were literally people dying in the streets, we were asked to step up and to basically fund this operation, at least on a short-term basis. And I recommended we do so, and this board agreed, as did the Housing Authority. And I think it was the right thing to do. And the way I look at things is that in government, 3 years is about as short term as you ever get. So the first 2 years of this program, in what was in a way surprising, the city did reimburse us just about, not quite, but just about dollar for dollar, for what we spent in those two, basically a year and a half of operation over two fiscal years. This coming year, as you can see on page slide 10, there's going to be just over $11.5 million spent on this effort. And the city has not included in their proposed budget to the council that we'd be reimbursed anything here. Now, when I questioned a city official about it, the response was, well, city's having a tough time. They're doing like a 3% cut across the board of their finances this year because of other issues. So essentially, though, what is proposed by the mayor and his staff will be either approved or altered by the city council. What I intend to do, and I would encourage you all to speak up as well, is to encourage the council to reimburse us here. Out of next year's budget. If they don't, then my recommendation is that we cover this anyway. I think that we're here at this point, and one more year is the ending of what I would say is that short-term commitment. What I'm advising the city council members I'm briefing right now on our budget for next year, and we'll do so with the mayor as well when I'm seeing him next week, is that with the homelessness strategic plan that's being conducted right now by Ann Oliva and the Corporation for Supportive Housing that you all are aware of, being due by end of the summer, that's going to give the Housing Commission and the city what I think is a legitimate roadmap for how to put all these homelessness items together. And we don't have a strategic plan for any of this stuff. Things have, for the last 10 years that we've been involved in this, things have popped up here, there, and there, hither and yonder, and we've gotten involved. And I think this agency has done a remarkably good job standing up at the plate and dealing with these issues. We, however, do not have a roadmap. And I think that with the plan that I see Ms. Oliva and her company coming to us by the end of the summer will give us a way to put all this stuff in perspective, and we'll give the Housing Commission, I think, some justification in saying yes to something and maybe no to something else. We're always going to have, I think, more to do than we have money to do with. And therefore, I think one of the policy decisions we're going to have to make budgetarily going forward is what do we say no to? And we don't have a good interpretive framework to do that right now. Coming up, we're going to have.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. And Madam Chair, if I could still. I've seen over the course of the last 6-7 years that I've served on this board to see the transition where we began to make more expenditures in the homeless arena, and understandable. Something gives, though, when you start to pay over here and you're not doing something over here. We've had a bit of a mission creep, if you will, in this organization. And what that means, you know, one thing that is helpful, I think, Mr. Gentry, is that people acknowledge, how much less housing, affordable housing are we now building associated with these additional expenditures? Just so everybody understands it. I mean, there's so much money that is being allocated to this organization. We can spend it on our main mission or we can spend it over here. Clearly, the need is great on both ends. As you said, Mr. Gentry, you would recommend that we do it anyway, even if we're not going to get reimbursed. Oh, now you're caveating.
If I could, the Housing Commission has lost nothing in our commitments to permanent housing going forward by what we spent on homelessness in the past, because we've had other budgets to cover it. This 11.6 million is an exception.
This is why I bring it up. I'm aware of that, and so that you know, there's going to be some tough decisions going forward.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other Commissioner questions or comments? I think it's probably safe to say we all share the concern that Commissioner Tassin's brought up, and I hope that there is some progress in the negotiations and the discussion with the city that they will reconsider financially supporting the furtherance of these shelters. With that, is there a motion? Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you. All those in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, we've handled item 109. That brings us to item 110, our proposed fiscal year 2020 budget.
Good morning, Jeff Davis, Chief of Staff, and with me is Tracy McDermott, our Chief Financial Officer. I'll be providing a brief overview of some of the major highlights of our proposed fiscal year 2020 budget, and then Tracy will walk you through the objectives, deliverables, and the agency's proposed sources and uses of funds. As mentioned earlier, in the 3 weeks since we presented the fiscal year 2020 budget to you as a workshop, on April 11th, the Housing Commission has received confirmation of additional federal funding. So with this additional funding, we are proposing a budget of $452 million, and this will be the largest budget in the agency's history. The budget is based on conservative estimates and continues to advance our programs that have had such a positive impact on the lives of San Diegans who have lower incomes or who experience homelessness. Within the last few weeks, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development notified us that they had decided to increase our funding for our voucher program by 14%, or approximately $20 million. This budget also reflects a continuing expansion of the Housing Commission's leadership role in the programs that address homelessness. As this slide very clearly shows, our budget for homeless programs has increased steadily in the last 5 years. And in this fiscal year budget, expenditures will exceed $100 million. The budget we are presenting will enable the Housing Commission to continue to help 15,400 families pay their rent, renovate, rehabilitate, and manage our growing number of affordable rental housing units, provide funds to developers to promote the development of affordable housing, and addressing the issue of homelessness in our city. Tracy will now go through the details.
Thank you, Jeff. We developed the proposed fiscal year 2020 budget with the agency's mission in mind. The additional federal funding for rental assistance that Jeff just mentioned will help the Housing Commission raise rental assistance payment standards again. The payment standard is used to establish the maximum amount of rental assistance subsidy that a Section 8 housing choice voucher could provide for a family. The increased payment standards help voucher families better afford the units where they currently reside, as well as allow for more opportunities should they choose to move. In addition to providing rental assistance to low-income households, the Housing Commission will continue the Path to Success initiative, which encourages work-able rental assistance participants and public housing residents to become more financially self-reliant. Also, the Housing Commission will launch a new landlord partnership program. This program is one of the initiatives in the fiscal year 2020 Moving to Work annual plan. It will provide incentives to current and prospective landlords to rent housing units to Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Rental Assistance participants. This new program is very similar to the Landlord Engagement Assistance Program, or LEAP, in the Housing First San Diego Homelessness Action Plan. To support the creation and preservation of affordable housing, the proposed budget commits more than $41 million to acquire affordable housing and rehabilitate Housing Commission-owned properties. We also set aside funds to provide loans to developers for the creation of affordable rental housing units. In addition, the Housing Commission will launch companion unit pilot programs to develop companion units at agency-owned properties and explore providing financing to private homeowners. This budget also supports the continuation of the current phase of the Housing Commission's Homelessness Action Plan, Housing First San Diego. This plan has already surpassed its three-year goal by creating permanent housing opportunities for more than 3,000 individuals and families experiencing homelessness. This slide shows the programs of the Housing First San Diego. The Housing Commission also commits the City of San administers the City of San Diego's homeless shelters and service programs. These programs include the city's three temporary bridge shelters, which provides beds and services for up to 674 individuals, and the city's Storage Connect Center, which provides up to 500 storage bins for individuals experiencing homelessness. In addition, the city's Housing Navigation Center is expected to launch this summer. Now let's talk about sources of funds. This slide compares total funding sources for fiscal year 2020 and 2019. Our total funding will increase by close to $65 million, or about 17%. Most of this increase is from $51 million in new revenue, and the majority of the new revenue increase is due to additional federal funding for rental assistance, including HUD-held reserves that will be drawn down in fiscal year 2020. HUD only releases these funds to the Housing Commission for very specific programs. The Housing Commission does not have the discretion to apply these funds to any program it chooses. New revenue in fiscal year 2020 also includes a one-time receipt of state homeless emergency aid program, or HEAP, funds through the city, and an increase of CDBG affordable housing revolving loan funds. The new revenue will be offset by a reduction in expected collections of the city's affordable housing fund. It is also important to note that the fiscal year 2020 budget includes program reserves that were committed to affordable housing activities in fiscal year 2019 are expected to be expended in fiscal year 2020 and beyond. So this pie chart of the Housing Commission's new revenue for fiscal year 2020 shows that more than 83% is from federal funding. Now let's move on to uses of funds. This is a year-over-year comparison of funding uses by major category. Expenses increased by $27 million, or 8%, over fiscal year 2019. The increase is primarily due to $12 million for housing assistance payments, or HAP, to continue the expansion of the Choice Communities Initiative, $7 million for homelessness activities related to the state-awarded HEAP funding, and another $7 million in capital expenditures. Now, this is offset by a $3 million decrease in development loans to create affordable housing due to the anticipated timing of when loan funds will be dispersed. We also expect modest increases in personnel and property expenses. This pie chart depicts total funding uses, not including reserves by major division. The majority of the funding uses in fiscal year 2020, 53%, are in the rental assistance division, as shown on the blue area on the chart. Now, Jeff will go over staffing and homelessness program expenditures.
In this budget, we have added staff due to proposed expansions, significant expansions, to three of our programs: mobility counseling, landlord engagement, and homelessness prevention and diversion. These three programs are ones that require a good deal more one-on-one interactions than our typical programs, and we look forward to being able to expand these very useful programs for our clients. As the city has turned to the Housing Commission to help address homelessness in recent years, again, our expenditures have grown quite steadily. This chart illustrates for you the growing investment over the last 5 years. The fiscal year 2020 budget will support Housing Commission homelessness programs, as well as the agency's administration of city programs. The Housing Commission's budget expenditures for homelessness programs this year will exceed $100 million. This total includes $11.5 million for the operation of the city's three temporary bridge shelters and $1.7 million for the city Storage Connect Center. Today, we are requesting your approval for the fiscal year 2020 budget in the amount of $452 million. And that concludes our presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Questions? I have one. The Housing Navigation Center, which I vaguely recall from many meetings ago, it looks like it's a $1.6 million allocation. I'm curious, my question is two parts. One, is the delay in getting that up and running adding to cost? And then two, remind me what it is that we're covering over there. The contract, if I recall correctly, right, with Family Health Centers?
So the contract for the operator agreement is $1.55 million. That's funded through city funds. And the tenant improvements, which is a single cost, is $300,000. So the total project cost for the initial year is $1.855. All those come through either CDBG, general fund, or low moderate income housing funds.
$300,000 is surprising. It's lower than I would have anticipated. They're leaving the air thing then, I'm assuming. The actual skydiving situation?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very new building, so predominantly the costs are related to some ADA compliance things. It's minor tweaks that need to be updated. Also, through some safety things because of the way the building is constructed and the multiple phases, there's some safety. But the city already closed off the tubes that will be remaining in place.
Good. I wouldn't want anyone falling in. Thank you. Any other questions? Sorry, that was very granular. Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second? Thank you. All those in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. And our last item is a workshop on our Section 8 voucher program. I'm trying to remember if that actually is the title. Is that the title? I was right.
And now again with the microphone turned on. Good morning, Chair, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry and Council. I'm Azucena Valladolid, Senior Vice President of Rental Assistance and Workforce Development. With me is Carrie Bell, Vice President of Rental Assistance. We are pleased to have the opportunity to provide an overview of the San Diego Housing Commission's Rental Assistance Division programs. The overview will include information about our Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program, MTW and special programs administered by the San Diego Housing Commission's Rental Assistance Division, and the upcoming initiatives we will implement in fiscal year 2020. The Housing Commission's largest program is rental assistance, with an allocation of 15,481 rental assistance vouchers. In fiscal year 18, we disbursed approximately $150 million to more than 6,000 participating landlords on behalf of rental assistance families. However, many additional families also need help, as evidenced by our Section 8 waiting list, which has a wait time of approximately 10 years. The families assisted through the rental assistance programs represent some of the most vulnerable populations in the city of San Diego. The average annual income of our families is $19,611, and approximately 56% of families are considered elderly and/or disabled. The Rental Assistance Division has a multitude of responsibilities when administering the HCV program. Carrie Rochelle shared details about the ongoing responsibilities and share some highlights about the MTW initiatives that we administer.
Thank you. Once a family is selected from the HCV program waitlist, the family must meet one of the established preferences: live or work within the city of San Diego, a family with two or more people that include a dependent, or single individuals must be either disabled, elderly, veteran, or active duty service persons. Once we have confirmed the family's preference, we proceed to verify if the family meets HUD and SDHC criteria for eligibility, including the HUD AMI income limits, a criminal background check, and verifying there are no previous terminations from the HCV program. If the family is determined eligible, a briefing will be scheduled for the issuance of the voucher and the family's orientation to the housing program. At the briefing, the family will learn about the program details, participant responsibilities, and program compliance. The Housing Commission staff coach the family members on how to find suitable housing. After successfully completing the briefing, the family is issued a voucher and begin their housing search. A family who receives a voucher may select a housing unit anywhere within the city of San Diego. To assist in their housing search, families moving to Choice and Enterprise communities are eligible for no-interest security deposit loans up to the payment standards for the area for their voucher size. The success of the Housing Choice Voucher Program is heavily dependent on the participation of landlords. Therefore, landlords retain the responsibility to screen and approve the families based on their own standard criteria. Before a family can move into a selected unit, the Housing Commission must inspect the unit to ensure it meets HUD's mandatory housing quality standards and ensure the unit is safe, decent, and sanitary. Once the unit passes inspection, the Housing Commission conducts a review of the owner's requested rent amount. The Housing Commission reviews the current market rents to comparable units to ensure that the rent amount requested is reasonable and fair. Staff also verifies that the family's portion of rent does not exceed the maximum rent thresholds. This helps ensure the family's ability to sustain their rent portion before they move into the unit. Lastly, SDHC conducts a housing assistance payment or HAP contract with the landlord. Under the HAP contract, the Housing Commission agrees to make housing assistance payments to the landlord on behalf of the assisted family. The Housing Commission has ongoing responsibilities to administer the HCV program. One of the responsibilities includes conducting a full recertification and verifying the participants' income and household composition to ensure they continue to meet the program's eligibility criteria. The recertification process is conducted every 2 years for all HCV families. Additionally, the Housing Commission must inspect the unit on a biannual basis to ensure it continues to meet housing quality standards. The Rental Assistance Division has a program integrity unit dedicated to investigate all alleged program rental assistance violations. Families certify to meet all program requirements at the intake briefing and at each recertification cycle. Families failing to meet program requirements may be subject to program warnings, repayment agreements, and possible termination of rental assistance. One of SDHC's major MTW initiatives is Path to Success, a rent reform initiative restructuring the traditional Housing Choice Voucher rent calculation. It is designed to increase the economic independence of HCV program participants for families identified as work-able. Families determined work-able are subject to minimum rents. Work-able families are households with at least one adult who is under the age of 55, not disabled, and not a full-time student between the ages of 18 and 23. Beginning on January 1, 2020, the Housing Commission will implement changes to the HCV and public housing programs. The minimum rent payment amount for the households identified as work-able will increase to reflect increases in the California minimum wage. Households with one work-able person will pay a minimum of rent of $400, up from $300. Households with two or more work-able persons will pay a minimum of $650, up from $500. The minimum monthly rent payment amount for elderly disabled households will remain at $0. Choice Communities is the Housing Commission's Upward Mobility Initiative. It was originally implemented in 2010 with the goal of creating increased access for HCV families to move into greater opportunity communities that offer greater transportation, education, and employment opportunities. In 2018, we expanded the Choice Communities Initiative. We categorized the City of San Diego zip codes into three zip codes or three communities, each with its own payment standard: the Choice Communities, Enterprise Communities, and Signature Communities. Here you will see a map of how we categorize our jurisdiction into those three communities. Through the Choice Communities, we've identified 24 zip codes within our jurisdiction that were considered opportunity areas. We incentivize upward mobility into these zip codes by offering higher payment standards, security deposit loans, and increased threshold for rent responsibility.
To further incentivize families to move to areas of opportunity, we added financial and staff resources to our newly expanded Choice Communities Initiative. We created a mobility counseling program to help with pre- and post-move counseling, housing search assistance, and virtual guidance about neighborhood features for families moving to Choice or Enterprise communities. Mobility counselors engage landlords to enlist new rental units in the HCV program and also act as a liaison between the landlord and families during the move process. Additionally, we provide no-interest security deposit loans for families moving to Choice or Enterprise communities. In the first year of implementation, the mobility counseling team enrolled over 1,200 families in the mobility counseling program, issued 167 security deposit loans, and registered 353 new landlords onto the HCV program. Additional resources are provided to our families, include work readiness services. A major focus of the Housing Commission's initiatives as an MTW agency is to provide opportunities to the families we serve to become more financially self-reliant. We guide work-able families to become more financially self-reliant through enrollment at the San Diego Housing Commission's Achievement Academy. The Achievement Academy is a learning and resource center that provides programs that emphasize career planning and financial education. Work readiness services include job training, on-site employer recruitments, and job placement. Financial education and counseling are added resources to further support work readiness preparation. Additionally, our MTW Family Self-Sufficiency Program offers financial incentives for meeting employment and education benchmarks to further motivate families to work towards financial self-reliance. The HCV program is the major rental assistance program administered by the Rental Assistance Division. However, we also administer many special rental subsidy programs designed to address unique populations. A few of these examples include the Veteran Affairs Supportive Housing Program, otherwise known as VASH, which provides rental assistance for chronically homeless veterans with case management and clinical services provided by the Veterans Affairs. The Family Unification Program is a voucher program designed to unite families whose children are at risk of out-of-home placement due to inadequate housing. The rental assistance allows families who would otherwise be displaced or separated to receive stable housing as a family unit. Using a Housing First model, the Housing Commission used its MTW designation to create permanent supportive housing to address homelessness. Under the project-based voucher and sponsor-based subsidy programs, we provide housing subsidy for homeless individuals and families, while a partnering agency provides case management and supportive services to stabilize a family. The project-based voucher is linked directly to a rental unit in a development, whereas a sponsor-based subsidy is tenant-based. The Monarch School Project offers rental assistance to homeless families with children attending the Monarch School. Parents engage in case management services through Monarch and the Housing Commission while they contribute to the children's academic progress. The Guardian Scholars Program is a partnership with San Diego State University. We provide rental subsidies to students exiting the foster care system or experiencing homelessness to ensure that housing is retained during and between semesters. And SDSU provides an array of resources in an effort to support the students' academic success. The Moving On program provides rental assistance to formerly homeless individuals who have successfully stabilized in permanent supportive housing, but still need rental assistance. We provide rental assistance. Providing rental assistance frees up permanent supportive housing resources for people experiencing homelessness who have a greater need. There's always something exciting happening in rental assistance, and fiscal year 2020 will be no different. The Rental Assistance Division is preparing to implement several upcoming initiatives this year, so I'll go over a few of them with you today. Pending HUD approval of our MTW fiscal year 2020 plan, we plan to implement a landlord partnership program that aims to increase the appeal of landlord participation in the HCV program. Incentives designed to recruit and retain new landlords and rental units will include an assurance fund to cover vacancy loss and damages caused beyond normal wear and tear that exceed the security deposit. Leasing incentives will be issued to landlords who rent to an HCV family. A move flexibility incentive will cover HAP or housing assistant payments overlap in the instance of an existing participant moving from one subsidized unit to another. We will also continue to simplify inspection policies. And lastly, we will develop a landlord services unit to provide dedicated support to our participating landlords. Pending approval of the Housing Commission's fiscal year 2020 budget, we will expand the mobility counseling program by increasing support services for landlords and families during the move process to ensure leasing timely through our rental assistance program. And lastly, as you've mentioned a few times before during this meeting, we will also be increasing the payment standards for our Housing Choice Voucher program. I'd like to conclude by saying the accomplishments in the Rental Assistance Division are attributed to the hard work and the commitment to excellence that's displayed by our staff. And it is thanks to them that we really have a high-performing program. So thanks to all of them. I hope that you found our presentation informative, and Carrie and I are available to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. I think there are some questions now. You were typing.
Thank you to you and all the staff. That was very informative, and this has been a little bit of a beast of a meeting, so I'm going to try to keep this short. I'd probably have a lot more questions if this were one of our shorter meetings, but specifically, I just kind of want to know how the waitlist works a little bit more and the eligibility process. So what is the waitlist at right now?
So we have over 90,000 household applicant families on our waiting list.
Okay.
And the wait time's approximately 10 years.
Yeah, that's tough. Do you know how many people who are selected are eligible versus ineligible? Meaning how many actually make it through once selected versus, because it seems like the 90,000 is, I'm trying to wrap my head around what exactly that means in terms of how many people on that list may or may not actually be eligible still.
Sure. So when we select a family from the household, the measurements that we track are the number of families that are selected to the time that they successfully lease or rent a unit through the rental assistance program. And right now, our success rate is about 73%.
73%. Okay. So, but I take it from the way you answer that it doesn't necessarily mean that the people who are not in that 73 are necessarily ineligible. Something else may happen with them. Meaning, I'm also sort of curious why people would be ineligible. Like, is it because they move, or their income has changed, or do we have much understanding of what the ineligibility triggers actually are?
Sure. So when we select families from our waiting list, we see about a 50 to 60% response rate. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've waited for some time to be selected and they've either moved or they've, you know, increased their earnings and they may no longer be interested. So that's part of the reason why we tend to see not 100% of the families.
So the 50, 60% response rate, so that is prior to the 73% completion. So meaning right off the bat, 40 to 50% don't even get back to us. And then out of those that do get back to us, 73% make it all the way through into housing.
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. Wow. That's interesting. Got it. And then, because one of the things that's peculiar about the whole system to me is that we cover the city of San Diego. And I think that we all think very clearly about like what the city of San Diego boundaries and everything are. I think regular people in the real world aren't really thinking that much because the lines are so blurred. And, so when you move, so just to be clear, if you apply and enter the wait list and you're living in South Park and you move to National City, you're no longer eligible, right?
One of the requirements that we have as far as a meeting a preference to be eligible is that you have to live or work within the city of San Diego.
So you may still be eligible if you continue to work in the city of San Diego.
But, correct.
Okay. Yeah.
We do have a cooperative agreement with the county of San Diego, so if somebody applies here in the city and goes to the county,
they do not go to the back of the they don't start from square one. You saw exactly where I was going with that. Honestly, since I came onto the board, this question has been lurking in the back of my head as to whether we're sending all these families back to square one if they move, you know, potentially 1 mile. Thank you. Yeah, great. That's fantastic. Okay.
You look like you might want to answer that.
Yeah, that was good. I think that's it. That's very enlightening. Thank you.
Any other commissioner questions? I have one. How many active service people? Is that a large chunk? I would imagine because if you're active duty, you're getting, you know, a BAH, right? Or something along those lines. So curious what if you guys could just shed some light onto that population.
I do have that information. So we currently have approximately 1,300 veteran households that we are able to verify on our rental assistance programs.
Okay. So, but the veteran population is different from the active duty. And so the active duty is really my question. And it's just it's an interesting little slice of that pie, but I can follow up with you kind of.
Yeah, I do. I don't have that number registered here, but if you follow up with me, we can look into that.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Rick?
Comments? Just a comment. The rental assistance program is the core of this agency. And like a lot of cores to organizations, they don't always get a lot of attention because things move there very smoothly, very uniformly. And there's not many issues or problems that pop up. They cover the whole third floor here as well as most of the first floor. And this is the organization, the chapter of this organization is run by Jeff Davis when I got here. And I promoted Jeff to the fifth floor. I'm not sure that's going up or down, Jeff. In 2013, Azuzena, who was his number two, filled in right behind him. It's been a nice, good-performing, solid, nationally recognized unit. It's also the basis for our moving to work program and what we've tried to do to create work incentives very successfully for our folks. And as I remember, Zaina, of those families who are work able in moving to work program, we've seen an increase in their reported earnings by about 25%.
Yeah, that is correct.
Since we kicked that program off in
2013.
Thank you. So I just want to brag on them. They do an excellent job. They don't always get a lot of notice, but it's the core of the organization.
The bragging is well deserved. Okay. Question? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I think that does it. Are we good to adjourn the meeting? Or? Absolutely. Do you want to go ahead and do that on record?
To the board members, just there's another big piece of paper in front of you showing those properties that you all have approved and are in process on the real estate side here, real estate finance side here. I just want to draw that to your attention. There's a lot of good information. I think it'll answer a lot of questions, including the one that, why do we all have all this money in reserves? The reserves are promised or targeted to these properties. So if you have questions about this, contact me or Emily Jacobs or one of our people. Be glad to respond to you. Just wanted to draw this to your attention.
Thank you. And we are adjourned at 11:15.